Callaghan gestured toward the cowled figure on his right.
You said I had no heirs, but it was on Eunice Scythe, with the help of the Maliban, that my son was born. I like to think of him as my son. And it was on Eunice Scythe that I learned many new powers.
Then it is you. You are the ally of the Maliban, the one they mentioned.
I think I must be.
Callaghan's smirk was so self-satisfied that Coram drew his sword and ran towards him. But then the flat of Gofanon's axe slammed against his armored chest, and he was knocked down onto the filthy beach, while Callaghan shook his head in mock despair.
Direct your anger at yourself, Prince Coram of the Silver Hand. You have received poor counsel and followed it. Perhaps if you had been at Caer Lewt to lead the Mabdon, the battle would not have gone so ill.
Coram began to rise, reaching for his sword, which lay a few feet from him, but again black-bearded Gofanon used his axe to push the sword away.
Prince Coram, you must know that the surviving Mabdon blame you for their defeat. They call you Turncoat. They believe that you joined sides with the Foy Miore and fought against them.
How could they believe that? Now I know you for a liar, Callaghan. I was here all the time. What evidence have they?
Oh, they have good evidence, Prince Coram.
Then some glamour was put upon them. One of your illusions.
Oh, you do me too much honor, Prince Coram.
Jari O'Connell, was he not there?
Little Jari O'Connell joined with me for a while. When he realized how the battle went, then he vanished. Doubtless shamed at his decision, though I considered it sensible.
Coram felt even more distressed by the knowledge that his enemy Callaghan was witness to his grief, but he could not help himself.
Callaghan, escort your company to the Great Palace. We are anxious to see what you have brought us, and if you have kept your bargain.
The Great Palace was no longer a palace, but a place where a palace had once been. The huge pine tree, which stood on the very top of Eunice Scythe's only hill, had once grown at the center of the palace, but now there were only traces of the original foundations. The mortals and the Shi sat upon grass-covered blocks of masonry, while Sactric's mummified figure stood.
I stand upon the spot where our great throne once rested. It was carved from a single gigantic ruby.
Not something I readily believe.
Nor I.
You will see, Emperor Sactric, that I have fulfilled the last part of our bargain. I have brought you Gofanon.
Sactric inspected the expressionless face of the she-dwarf.
I admit, the creature resembles that one with whom I desired to meet again. And he is completely in your power.
Completely.
Callaghan brandished the little leather bag, which Coram remembered from when he himself had bargained with the wizard. It was the bag into which Gofanon had spat. It was the bag which Coram had given to Callaghan, and whose contents Callaghan had used to secure his power over the great dwarf. Coram looked at that bag, and he was filled with hatred for Callaghan, even more intense than he had felt before. But his hatred for himself was even stronger. He buried his face in his hands.
You could not know, Coram.
It was an attempt at comfort, but Coram could not hear the words.
Then, Callaghan, give me the bag which contains your power.
The decaying hand reached towards Callaghan. But Callaghan replaced the little bag in his robe and smiled.
The power must be transferred willingly, as you know, or 'twill cease to be. I must first be sure, Sactric, that you will complete that part of the bargain which is yours.
We give our word rarely, we of Maliban. When we give it, we are bound to keep it. You requested our help first in destroying what remains of the Mabdon race, and then in imprisoning the Foy Miore in an illusion from which they will be unable to escape, leaving you free to use this world as you feel fit. You have agreed to bring us Gofanon and to help us leave this plane forever. Well, you have brought Gofanon, and that is good. We must trust that you have the power to help us depart this world and find another, pleasanter place in which to live. Of course, if you do not succeed in that, we shall punish you. You know this also.
I know it, Emperor.
Then give me the bag.
Kaladin showed considerable reluctance to comply as he once more drew out the leather bag, but at last he handed it to Sactric, who accepted it, while the she-dwarf's friends looked on in misery.
Now go, Fanon. Listen to your master, Kaladin. You have a new master now. It is this great man, this emperor, this Sactric.
Kaladin stepped forward and took Gofanon's huge head in his jeweled fingers and turned it so that the eyes stared directly at Sactric.
Sactric is your master now, and you will obey him as you have obeyed me.
Sactric is my master now. I will obey him as I have obeyed Kaladin.
Good.
Kaladin stepped back with a look of considerable self-importance on his handsome face. He indicated Corum and Ilbrek.
And now, Emperor Sactric, how do you intend to dispose of my two enemies here? Would you allow me to devise a means?
I am not sure yet I wish to dispose of them. Why slaughter good animals before they need to be eaten?
Corum saw Ilbrek pale a little at Sactric's choice of phrase, and he himself found the words distressing. Desperately, he tried to devise a method of capturing Sactric, at very least, but he knew that Sactric was able to enter and leave his mummified corpse at will, and to invoke lethal illusions at a moment's whim. There was little either he or Ilbrek could do, but pray that Kaladin would not get his will.